Sports Podcast. Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from the Smut Studio in Venice Beach, California, with my co-host, Joey No Chill Prano.
Hello, Andy.
What's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Do we have time for pleasantries? I know you're very excited about this episode. You want to get in? You were trying to force me to wear my headphones before the show even started. You're like worried that I wasn't going to be able to figure it out when we had to get our guest on the phone. You texted me last night. You're like, show's at 10 a.m. We're calling our guest at 10 a.m. I was like, okay. You're like, can you be in my place at 9:40? I'm like, no, I get how it works. I'll be there. You're very turnt today.
I'm very turned. We have Barry McConaughey is going to be joining us live on the show.
The world famous Barry McConaughey.
He's had 46 Twitter accounts suspended, banned.
Honestly, I've always loved his comments. I've always loved his takes on sports. I can't believe he's been banned so many times. And you, Andy Ruther, with your Taco Bell jokes, never banned.
Again, my Taco Bell. I don't have that many Taco Bell jokes in the last year.
Ever since I mentioned it, you got gun shy.
I got mentioned Taco Bell. I had plancha last night. I decided to get 5 late night tacos. So, I just think of that George Brett water. That's going to be me on the toilet after the show.
Great lead in for our guest.
Yeah. Why don't I reach out to him? Let's throw those headphones on. And let's get Barry on the phone here. Let's do it. A lot of suspense with this one, Prano.
For people who don't know, have we dialed him yet? Are we calling?
He's going to call me.
Oh, okay. So Barry is he's a Twitter account, basically. That's all we know.
Yes.
He doesn't think Brady is the GOAT. He doesn't think Jordan is the GOAT.
Oh.
He shits on Kobe.
Here he is.
And he's on time. I love it.
Love it. Good morning, Barry McConaughey. Are you there, sir?
I am.
Bigger question. Are you currently doing something to support the troops?
Well, as a matter of fact, I am. I'm actually standing right now. I am listening to the national anthem. And I've been doing that for really the last 6 years. I have not sat down once in the last 6 years.
Well, we are saluting you right now.
We have our salute to service banner that I got at Monday Night Football, and it just made me think of you.
There shouldn't be any other way. I'm very proud of you guys.
Well, thank you, Barry. And you know, like you, we do support the troops. And there's been a lot of hoopla with you coming on the show, Barry, and people want to know things. Are you ready to get into this?
I am 100% ready. But before we begin, I just want to congratulate both of you guys on having as many finals MVPs as Steph Curry, because that's a really, really great accomplishment. Not a lot of people have as many finals MVPs as Steph Curry does, but you guys do. Just before we begin, I just wanted to get that out of the way and just congratulate you guys.
Well, thank you, Barry. And I want to follow up by congratulating you for having also as many NBA finals as Steph Curry.
MVPs.
What did I say?
Doesn't matter. You're Ruthering already. Barry, I got to say that I'm very excited to have you on the show because for, I don't know how long you've been doing this on Twitter, but as long as you've been doing it, people have been accusing me of being you. And I just want to put it out there once and for all. There can be two people in the world that think LeBron's the GOAT, Brady's a system QB, Kevin Durant's a bitch. Like, that we do exist.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that another question you guys are going to ask me was because I don't have my face as my profile pic, and you guys have, you know, this policy where you go after faceless trolls, and that's, you know, the question was, oh, well, you're having a faceless troll on your show. And I think this will tie into it where you asked me how long I've been on Twitter. I've been on Twitter since like the summer of 2013. So, I mean, that's a long time to be getting asked, oh, are you this one person? You must be living a double life. And I had my real face as my profile picture for like 4 years. And around like last year, I remember I was sitting at home. Actually, no, I wasn't sitting. I was standing.
Yes, yes.
I was saluting the troops, and this commercial came on, and it was like I'd seen this commercial a thousand times, and it was like this low budget, like it looked like a low budget porno, and it had like this shady doctor, and he was like aggressively like telling the audience like, you have to go to the addiction network. Do this, do that. And I was like, I'd seen this commercial like a thousand times. And at first I thought it was like a local commercial, but I was like, you know, this asshole is really annoying. So I took like a picture of it and I posted it on Twitter. And I was like, you know, this guy's an asshole. And like hundreds of people liked it. And they said, oh yeah, we know this guy, he's an asshole. And so I said, well, I might as well make this guy's face my profile pic. And for the last year or so, I've done that, and it's kind of taken on a life of its own. And it's funny because even still, every now and then I'll get somebody in my mentions like, you know, I'd recognize that guy's face from somewhere, but I don't know. I don't, you know, I know I've seen it before, but I don't know where I've seen it. And so then I'll tell the person, oh, it's the Addiction Network. And they're like, oh, and now people actually think that it's me, but you know, I'm much more handsome in real life.
Yeah. Now the thing about our hatred of faceless trolls is, I mean, I don't want to even say that you're trolling. Like, I don't think telling the truth is being a troll. So like that's, let's start there. But like when all you do is go on the internet and shit on people and you hide behind a picture, it's different. You're just a Twitter account that is telling the truth about LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Tom Brady, the Warriors, yeah. Right? Like, you're not trolling.
Yeah, well, I try. I mean, well, to be fair, yeah, sometimes I do blatantly do troll. I do basically try to get a reaction out of people. But I guess a better way to put it is, I mean, yeah, I do give factual statements and I do give stats and stuff. So I guess I just try I post a lot of facts with a satirical angle to it. And I think that satire, I think, sometimes goes over people's heads. And it
makes on the internet?
Crazy.
No.
Yeah. I mean, even this, I mean, every now and then, like, well, not every now and then, pretty frequently, whenever, you know, all you have to do, Donald Trump's Twitter is like, literally, like, he sends a tweet about anything, and within like 5 seconds, there's already 1,000 people responding to it. So I figured, well, I might as well respond to him and see if I can get any people to bite on this. And so pretty frequently I'll talk about how I'll reply, Donald, you have to outlaw marijuana because I've lost like hundreds of cousins to marijuana. Over there.
Big fan of those jokes, by the way.
And like every single time without fail, there's at least like within 5 minutes, there's at least 10 to 15 people with like American flag abbeys coming in like, you can't overdose on marijuana. And so, and then like,
what, you know what you're doing? Let me hop in here real quick. What you're doing is, what's great is through your Twitter feed and through jokes like that, you're exposing, and I'm going to use it with a hard R, the retardedness. Yeah, I went there, of Americans. Like Joe and
is
I.
Is retardedness a word?
Whatever. You know, tomato, Joe, right? I can just make things up. So basically,
not how you use that phrase either, yeah, but that, please continue.
That's my new thing. I just like saying tomato, tomato. That's what I like about your account, Barry, is that you expose the morons. Like Joe and I are saying, the faceless troll, it's like if you make a joke about comparing LeBron and Kobe, by the way, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
The person who comes at you with a Kobe AVI and is like, you know, 24 GOAT. And you're like, dude, you've never played a game of basketball in your life. But let's just break down the facts here.
Yeah. I mean, it's, well, I mean, just last week, another example of this, another one of the things I do, people that follow me already know this, and I'm also famous for impersonating reporters and making locker room threads on Twitter, which are pretty, sometimes are pretty explicit. Last week, I remember during the KD Draymond scandal there in Golden State, I took advantage of the opportunity to kind of ad lib a little bit on the situation, and I made a tweet. I was impersonating Adrian Wojnarowski, you know, the famous NBA reporter. And I basically said, you know, that Draymond called Steve Kerr a cracker. and this radio station in Minnesota.
I saw this.
They ran with it and they thought it was serious. And the guy was like, and the guy said, Steve Kerr, Draymond Green called Steve Kerr a dumb cracker. And it was amazing. So it's just like that. Just the fact that I made that tweet while I was taking a shit too. So it was like, here
hold,
I am.
Hold on. Real quick question. When you take a shit, are you still standing for the anthem while you shit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm standing when I take a shit because, you know, it makes a mess and it gets all over the place, but you know what?
It's a tough scene.
It can be a tough scene, but you know what? It's all worth it for the troops.
Let me tell you why, like, people should have known that we weren't the same person. And my favorite thing that you do in all your Twitter feed, the work that you put into the Tom Brady highlight videos, the Michael Jordan defense videos. Like, I don't have that kind of time, that kind of energy, that kind of, I don't even know, editing skill. That's when people should have known. I'm not sitting there. You're cutting up Tom Brady game tape, and you're just showing his 3-yard dump passes.
Yeah. Well, I can't lie. I'm not some sort of technical genius. What I usually do is I just, after the game's over, I'll usually just go to the NFL's YouTube account, and they already do most of the editing for me.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it makes me look smarter, but then I'll basically just use my phone honestly, I don't even really have to edit it because pretty much all of his passes are just like 5-yard checkdown passes.
So where do you put – let's just get to that then. If we're talking all-time greats, and Joe and I have had – this season we've been dealing with Brees fans, and we have both agreed. We have put Drew Brees 6th all-time, and which has caused a ruckus down in New Orleans. But where would Barry McConaughey put Tom Brady on his all-time quarterback list?
Well, you know, for me, I've always judged quarterbacks differently than the standard, you know, rings thing where it's like, oh, you have to go by rings. And since Brady has 5 rings, he's automatically the best ever. And, you know, to be sure, I mean, for all the trolling I do and for all the, you know, the shots I take at him, I mean, he's obviously good. Like, you can't put up the numbers and have the longevity he's had unless you have some ability. But I've just never really been that impressed by him. But at the same time, it's like you can't ignore his longevity. So, I mean, in terms of accomplishments, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, he's probably the most accomplished quarterback of all time. But in terms of the best quarterback of all time, I don't even know if he's one of the 3 best of his own era. I think Rodgers, Peyton, and Brees are all just as good, if not better. They were just all in worse situations with worse defenses and worse coaching. The most simple way to put it is in Tom Brady, this is like his 17th year as a starter. And in his first 16 years, he had a top 10 defense 13 times. So, I mean, whereas you look at guys like Brees and Rodgers, I mean, they all, and Manning and Peyton, they all put up similar numbers to Brady, but their records are a lot worse because of things that are out of their control pretty much, like defenses. So, like I said, he's probably somewhere, I guess he's probably somewhere in the top. He's definitely in the top 10. I don't know if I'd put him top 5, though.
I completely agree with you in how to judge it. And it goes back to the same thing when you talk basketball, when you talk Jordan and LeBron. I always look at it as just look what happens when they get hurt or they're suspended or whatever. Like Brady's teams go 11-5 with Matt Cassel, or they go 3-1 with Garoppolo and Brissett. Meanwhile, Peyton Manning goes down and suddenly they're sucking for luck.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jordan leaves a team, they lose two more games and they almost make the Eastern Conference Finals. LeBron leaves, they fold franchises. They're like, all right, I guess we're not having basketball in Cleveland anymore. Until it comes back.
Yeah, I mean, it's no contest for me. I mean, LeBron plays against real athletes. Michael Jordan played against off-duty firefighters. It's so funny. You know, I mean, like the UPS driver outside of my house this morning, I'm pretty sure he guarded MJ in the 93 finals. But, no, but I...
Barry, hold on real quick. Why is that so hard for people to understand? And we've talked about this on our show at length. And you know, there's videos out there which everybody can see on YouTube. Why?
Yeah, you have to watch Barry's. Like, my favorite thing is when the other day you posted one and then somebody was like, show the Bad Boys Pistons. And you already had it ready. You're like, here's him against the Bad Boys Pistons.
But it's so bizarre to us because it's like basketball is the only sport where the athlete hasn't progressed. You know what I'm saying? Nobody says, oh, Dick Butkus is the best inside linebacker of all time. Like he would be better than a modern day Luke Kuechly. But for some reason, we have such a hard on for this nostalgia from these 80s and 90s teams where the modern day athlete is 7 foot, can dribble, shoot threes. It's like there's no comparison.
Well, yeah, I think you already said it. I think the nostalgia factor when it comes to Jordan and the 80s and 90s is really the answer. Because, like, if you told somebody, okay, if you told one of the old heads on Twitter that constantly hate on LeBron, if you said, could the 96 Bulls beat the 2017 Warriors? They would say, oh, yeah, definitely. But if you said, sorry, so that's like a 21-year gap. If you told those same people the 75 Celtics could beat the 96 Bulls, they'd say, oh, get the fuck out of here. You know, the athletes are better. And so like it goes against like their own logic.
That's what I always say to, you know, if we're talking rings, then it's Russell, right? But when I was a kid and Jordan was winning, it was Jordan, and that made sense to me. I'm like, the athletes are so much better now. I know he only has half of Russell's titles, but he's the best ever. Just the way I know LeBron has only half as many titles as Jordan, but the game has advanced even that much more. If it's rings, it's Russell. If it's stats and accomplishments and everything else, it's LeBron. It's never Michael. That's the thing. It's never Michael.
I think, as opposed to my stuff, like for me, when it comes to Tom Brady, I've never, ever been impressed by Tom Brady. Like it's just, he's not a good athlete. I've never really been impressed. I honestly don't think he's that talented. Whereas like when you watch like Michael Jordan highlights, I mean, it's the guy was like by far the best player of his era and he was ridiculously talented. So like it's my shots at MJ are more so, whereas like my shots at Brady are like
at
more
Brady.
About Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like my, the jokes I make about MJ are a lot more about his competition. Like you could drop MJ in today's era and he'd still be like the best. He'd arguably be the best player with LeBron. Like, so
you're because I do the same thing. Your shots at MJ is at the argument that LeBron's accomplishments are somehow worse because he's not playing against the Bad Boys Pistons.
Oh yeah. Like I remember back in, I think it was like 2014 when ESPN had the Bad Boy Pistons 30 for 30. Like the only thing Twitter was talking about was, oh, LeBron couldn't score on these guys. And I'm just like, these are like 200-pound white guys. Like, the heaviest player on the Bad Boy Pistons weighs less than LeBron. So like, you know, these guys tried to.
But hand checking, Barry. Hand checking.
Hand checking. Yeah. Oh my God. Like I've shown this on like all the clips I've done, where like you know they don't even touch MJ. And he's going up for an easy like mid-range jumper like without any contest. And people, I mean, I've on like the videos that I've done on the Bad Boy Pistons, I've had people tell me you need to do videos on the Bad Boy Pistons.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, are you serious? Like this is the video. And just that they just refuse to like the nostalgia again is just such a big factor. And like they just absolutely refuse to believe that. Like, I mean, I honestly think that like if you put LeBron in the 80s and 90s, he would. I don't know about the late 90s because in the late 90s, that was when like the pace really, really slowed down. But I think in the 80s to early 90s, I think you put LeBron in there. He averages a 35-point triple-double pretty easily, I think.
Well, I always find it interesting. Like if you just take the Michael Jordan highlights that have been shown around the world a million times, like the shot against the Cavs, that's on Craig Elo. Craig Elo's fucking me with a mullet. Like
he's Uncle Joey from Full House.
Yeah, yeah. Like the shot against the Jazz. Like, oh, he beat. They had two Hall of Famers. Yeah, well, Byron Russell was guarding him. Like, yeah. Byron Russell is a UPS driver.
Barry, can you
they still had like, and the thing is like he was still being guarded by like John Stockton and Jeff Hornacek, who, you know, are ice cream truck drivers. So
yeah,
they don't like they're two ice cream truck drivers. So like, and he shot like 44% against them. So yeah, I mean it's definitely I don't even know, but just
can you talk about Mahop in here? Can you explain how and why Kevin Durant ruined basketball?
Well, how much time do you have? let's see here. Well, I mean, just from a purely entertainment standpoint, there's no suspense anymore about who's going to win. Even last year during the Western Conference Finals, when Houston went up 3-2, you just had like this inevitable sense that, all right, the Warriors are going to wake up and kick Houston's ass, even without Chris Paul. And like, as just watching that, even then I was like, the Warriors are going to wake up and they're going to kick Houston's ass. And that's exactly what they did. But besides that, I mean, it's been like no contest. Like you took a team that had already won, you know, 73 games and already had three All-NBA players, had the unanimous MVP and Steph Curry. And, you know, you add a top two player to that team, it makes it comically, it makes them comically overpowered. And last year in, I think it was game three, when Steph shot like, you know, 3 for 16 and the Warriors still won, I think that was the best example of it, where, you know, their fallback plan is basically the most talented scorer of all time. Like, oh, Steph Curry has a bad game. Well, go ahead, Kevin. Oh, Kevin Durant has an off game. Go ahead, Steph. Like, I can't really think of like another, and even like, and if both of those guys have bad games, it's like, oh, Clay can go off for 30 and he can make like 10 threes and a half. So like, and not even to mention the fact that they've added DeMarcus Cousins. So like before Durant went to Golden State, I mean, you had OKC was a contender. Obviously Golden State was a contender. You had San Antonio too, like, and in the East you had the Cavs. So there was like some genuine suspense there. And as soon as Durant went to Golden State, pretty much all that suspense was out the window. I mean, the only suspense now is, all right, who's going to win Finals MVP between KD and Steph? And that's, you know, it's
and there's
it's
really just, not a lot of suspense for that either.
Yeah, I mean, last year Steph was, I mean, I joke about it a lot because I think eventually I think he will get one. So I'm trying to get all the jokes in Finals MVP now. But I mean, after the first two games, I mean, before he had that awful game three, I mean, he was on pace to win it. But so I think eventually he'll get one. But
it really the Durant thing, it was a perfect storm of like it's almost unmatched in and could never be matched again. It was a perfect storm of having already the best team ever with the best record, and then just at the same moment having the second best player in the world have such a weird, fucked up ego, like low self-esteem, defending himself on Twitter. Like, there's only one guy you could ever convince to join that team the way he did, and that's Kevin Durant. And he's still doing it now. He's still fucking freaking out.
Yeah, I think, well, to me, it's like, all right, imagine like those Jazz teams with Stockton, Malone. Like, imagine if they added Hakeem or Shaq.
Yeah.
Like that's basically the equivalent of what Durant did with the Warriors. Like you take an already contending team and you add a top two or three player to that team. I mean, it also was just a bunch of fluky things. Like obviously you mentioned already Durant probably has like the lowest confidence, has like the least confidence in himself of like any superstar athlete I've ever seen. Like he's like a complete beta male.
Who has more backup accounts on Twitter, you or Kevin Durant?
Oh, at this moment I only have one.
Okay.
that's probably about five less than KD.
When you get suspended real quick, when you get suspended or banned on Twitter, when they email you, what is the reason? Like what are some of the tweets that have gotten you kicked off Twitter?
Well, I think Well, I got my first, like I said before, I got my first account. I'm on like account number, I've lost track now. I'm probably on like account number 10 right now. and I lost, no, I'm not even joking. And I, my first account got suspended. I had that for like 3.5 years. And I, that got suspended like before the Super Bowl between the Pats and Falcons. And in the last like 2 years almost, I've had like 9 accounts. I know I have a feeling that my original account got suspended because I jokingly said that we have to kill all white people. But every single time my account's gotten suspended after that, I've you know, they have the appeal option and I've always appealed it, and it's, I've never ever gotten like a definitive example of, yeah, this is, this tweet specifically was why you got suspended. So like for me, I'm just like, well, you know, I just like, you know, you chop my head off, I grow back 2 more, where it's weird. Like for like the first 4 years I was on Twitter, I struggled to get 10,000 followers. And in like the last year, like the last half year, like my last account got up to like 70,000 followers, and I'm not to brag, but it got up to like 70,000 followers. And now this new account's already like at 63,000 followers in like 2 months. And I'm not, I mean, I, you know, that doesn't, in the big picture of life, you know, Twitter followers doesn't really mean shit, but.
Oh, don't like, tell Andy that.
Well,
oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. but Barry, this is also proving one other thing. Twitter clearly does not support the troops. If they are repeatedly banning you, they have no love for our hardworking men and women who give us this freedom, right? Salute the troops, right?
It's disgusting. It really is. It's just, you know, it just, I'm getting a little emotional just thinking about it right now. excuse me.
This is a tough scene, Andy.
It is a bit of a tough scene. Yeah, you know, just thinking about all the troops overseas who risked their lives to defend this country, just thinking about Kaepernick, how he disrespected them.
Yeah, it's disgusting, isn't it?
It was absolutely uncalled for. And, you know, I don't even know. I'm too upset just thinking about the troops getting disrespected to give you a coherent answer. Sorry.
It's all right. Take a moment to yourself. I think Joe wants to ask you something
else. I have another question, because I've seen so much of the Kobe, the LeBron, the Brady, and I fully back what you're doing. Are you not a baseball fan?
I'm a Yankees fan.
This was my theory. I said he's either not a baseball fan or he's a Yankee fan, because I was wondering, you do such a good job taking down the, you know, the paper heroes. Derek Jeter, arguably, you know, the Kobe Bryant, Tom Brady of Major League Baseball. Like, talk about a guy who's overrated simply because of the amount of rings he's walked away with.
Well, you know, baseball is different, though, because, like, baseball is weird in that, like, in basketball and football, rings are constantly brought up. And for, like, besides really Derek Jeter, when it comes to, like, baseball, most of the time rings are never really mentioned. Like, nobody talks about how many rings Babe Ruth won, really,
right?
If you think about it. Like, people are always like, oh, Tom Brady has 5 rings. Michael Jordan has 6 rings. And, like, if you ask somebody how many rings Babe Ruth won, I think he won 7. I'm not sure. I don't know offhand, but it's like, and you look at like Mike Trout, like everybody agrees he's the best player in the world. But like, instead of hearing, oh, he doesn't make his teammates better, he doesn't, you know, he's never won a playoff game. Like, people don't use that to discredit him. So, because baseball is more of like an individual sport masquerading as a team sport. So it's, I mean, I love playoff baseball, but I think regular season baseball is like, I think the season's a little too long. It can be a little bit drawn out and boring at times. Whereas playoff baseball, I mean, I love watching playoff baseball, especially when the Yankees are in it, obviously, because the intensity is just so much higher and every pitch means more. And, you know, and I've just, on an off note, I've never seen a classier pitcher than Josh Hader. Just want to put that out there.
Class act right there, Josh Hader.
Josh Hader's a class act.
Loves the troops.
Now, I wouldn't be doing a service to all of our dirty sports troops if we didn't get you going on Kobe Bryant a little bit. I've been the world's foremost Kobe hater. I'll say it. I'm a plain hater. I don't like his game. I don't like his personality. I don't like that he is now admitted to raping somebody. I don't like that he is credited with five rings when he was never, like, he never even won a playoff series without a dominant big man. Let's talk a little bit about who and what Kobe Bryant was as a basketball player and otherwise.
Well, I mean, as a basketball player, for all of his faults, he was obviously a great basketball player. I mean, nobody can deny that. No matter how much you may hate his game, I think he's like the 10th best player of all time. With that being said, it's like as soon as I say that, I already know, like, I can hear the audible groaning of his fans, like saying, "Oh, he's at least top two." Like,
I kind of groaned even at top 10, but I'll we'd have to break it down close. But
he's
agree
borderline. He's borderline for me.
Yeah.
But I think I've never he like if MJ is Coca-Cola, Kobe's RC Cola. Like, yeah. That's the best way to put it. Like, Kobe basically he's aside from because I hesitate to say he's a rapist because I'm saying that now.
He confessed, by the way.
Proven guilty. He was never, he was never found guilty in court. So
right.
But at the same time, like when you go and you look at like the police reports, it's a tough scene. And I don't mean to make light of that, but like in all seriousness, like when you go and you read the police reports, it's like, oh my God, like this guy was. If what happened in the police report was true, I mean, like it's ridiculous.
Well,
I heard rumors that he said like he convinced himself mentally that the rape didn't happen, and that if he kept on winning, that people would forget about it. And I think
Mamba mentality.
He's kind of right.
Yeah, we think it's funny living out here in Los Angeles because. Obviously, the Me Too movement is strong out here, especially within all the Hollywood elites. Yeah. And they have just completely ignored, Kobe got his number retired last year at the Staples Center, big ceremony.
Yeah.
No big outcry out here in L.A. All these celebrities who were so offended, like, he straight up raped somebody. And in a way, if you go and we've talked about it on our show before, Deadspin did a great article, in October on it. If you read the reports, in a way, he's now basically admitted. Well, maybe
she didn't. Yeah, he admits that she didn't give consent.
So whatever. But I don't want to go down that.
Yeah.
But the point of bringing Kobe up, I think, is that these people who don't understand the all around game of someone like LeBron James, and like Joe pointed out, that he never won a series without Shaq or Pau Gasol. He never won a playoff series. So this whole argument of Kobe, LeBron, like, guys, look at these rosters. And I know it's the East, and the East is weaker, but the rosters that LeBron took to the finals. I started laughing to myself the other day, out loud, just thinking that LeBron won two games in the finals in 2015 with Mozgov and Dellavedova. Like, he won two playoff games in the finals with those guys. Kobe couldn't get past the first round.
The thing is, like, here's the thing. Like, Kobe is known as this, like, clutch god and clutch superstar. Can anybody name, like, a clutch shot that he made in the finals?
No.
What is his, like – and when you think about, like, all the clutch shots that those, like, Lakers teams made, it's always Robert Horry or Derek Fisher.
Or even Artest. Like
Artest. It's like – it's like, honestly, and I'm not even like trying to be joke. I'm not even trying to be snarky. Kobe's like most memorable finals moment is going 6 for 24 in game 7 against Boston, like in 2010 when they won. So like, I just like he basically like Kobe somehow, and this might be his greatest accomplishment. He somehow convinced like the masses that he's clutch by copying MJ's mannerisms.
Yes.
Well,
it's just mind blowing to me, like how this guy, just like, I mean, I don't mean to be fair to him, when he in those 3 years where he didn't have Shaq or Pau, I mean his supporting cast were
bad.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, terrible.
We're bad. So, but I think.
But look at the Cavs this year. Look at this roster. Look what this roster is doing without LeBron James. Like. They're bad, too.
Yeah. I mean, but, it's, like, it's, yeah. Weird.
But I mean, if you broke it down, again, I know the East and West are different. But if we really want to break it down, obviously Shmush Parker was hot garbage, and Chris Mim and all those fucking
Kwame Brown,
all those guys he had. But it's like if we go back and we look at that same era, at the 2007 Cavs roster, I mean, come the fuck on. Like, who's LeBron's second guy on that team? Larry Hughes?
You're not going to disrespect Sasha Pavlovich like that, okay?
he was a troop in Lithuania or wherever the fuck he's from.
Yeah, you got NBA Hall of Famers Ira Neubel and Daniel Gibson and Anderson Varejao and Drew Gooden. I mean,
any grown man called Booby is not, that's your go-to guy. The guy's called Booby. I mean, what are we talking about?
Although, to be fair to Booby, he did have a great Game 6 against Detroit where he went off for like 8 3-pointers. I remember that. So, to be fair, but other than that, yeah, pretty much LeBron's supporting cast was his supporting cast. Really, for his entirety of his first tenure in Cleveland, was shit. So, his best player, I mean, his best teammate was Mo Williams for 7 years.
Well, I got to tell you, Barry, what I do like about you, and what the reason I enjoy all the videos you put up, all the tweets you put up, is unlike so many people, I can tell you watched, and I can tell that you continue to watch, and I can tell that you are completely aware of everything that's going on. And I think a lot of the people that argue. Both, you know, any of these arguments, whether it be Brady or Aaron Rodgers, you know, sucks, or this is what Jordan did, or this is what Kobe did. I feel like a lot of these guys just have no clue what actually happened. And the biggest example that I've ever seen of that in all of sports is the knock on LeBron is the big knock, the huge one is the Mavs series he lost. And I feel like 95% of the time, the people I'm arguing with, I'm actually alerting them to the truth that Kobe Bryant got swept by that team and lost game 4 by 41 points. Like, they have no idea that Mavs team urinated on Kobe Bryant's Lakers. And that's what upsets me.
They outkellied them, yeah.
Yeah.
And not to mention that Lakers had just won back-to-back titles.
Yeah.
So they were the two-time defending champ that you said just literally Dirk Nowitzki dropped his pants and took a hot, steaming, sauerkraut German dump all over Kobe's face, and we just somehow forget that.
Well, I think they didn't know it in the first place, so they didn't forget it.
Well, I think here's the thing, though. For me, like, I don't try to justify – like, I think if there is, like, one legitimate – black mark on LeBron's career, I think it is that series versus the Mavericks. I've never really tried to justify, because I mean, it'd be hypocritical of me, and because I'm such a class act, it'd be hypocritical of me to like say LeBron's the best player but not hold him to that standard. And he played like I remember watching that game. I remember watching that entire series. And I remember, like, I was – as a LeBron fan, I've been a fan of LeBron since he was at St. Vincent St. Mary's. And I remember just, like, I was, like – I'd never been more disappointed, because I was, like, this is your chance to prove all the guys. Like, because if you remember, like, when he went to Miami, not only was he hated for leaving Cleveland, like, people were saying, like, he quit versus the Celtics the year before. Like, he was getting – like, people were saying, oh, he choked versus the Celtics the year before. And like this was his chance to get back and prove to people that, you know, he could do it. And he just like completely shit his pants. The way I look at it is, I don't try to justify that series, but I look at it. All right, that was 7 years ago. And like, if you look at his production over the last 7 finals that he's played in, and you compare that to Michael Jordan's 6 finals that he played in, I know it's different eras and stuff. But like, his production is like right there with MJ's over the last 7 finals. And so like, I look at it, like, he had to earn his way back all those 7 years, and people were like, oh, he's horrible. But like, I mean, to win a conference like 7 straight years, 8 straight years, I mean, it's no joke.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of LeBron's greatness, I think you have to apply a lot more context to it, because as opposed to like guys like MJ or Kobe, guys that have the rings, like a lot of, I think sometimes people forget that basketball is like a make or miss sport. Like two. You can like imagine like if John Paxson or if Steve Kerr like missed those shots in the 93 and 97 finals, and they had in those series had to go to seven games. Like anything can happen in a game seven. The
right.
Bulls might have lost. It's like, but LeBron kicks it out to an open Kyle Korver or J.R. Smith, and they brick it. And it's like, oh, then the Cavs lose. It's like,
well, so. I mean, I think we can all agree that when Paxson or Kerr catch those balls, that the ball is covered in Michael Jordan's killer instinct. And so it's almost like there's no chance that they can miss it when it just has his killer instinct all over it.
You're absolutely right about that. And, you know, it's like osmosis. He just transferred it to his teammates. And that's probably what LeBron lacks. He just didn't, you know, even when he came back down from 3-1 against a 73-win team, just didn't have enough killer instinct. I mean, he was too scared. He had Kyrie Irving make that shot for him.
That's our favorite thing, by the way. We love – how do you quantify that phrase, killer instinct?
Oh, now, horrible. Barry, we're going to let you go because we know you have a lot of supporting the troops to do.
Oh, no, I'm enjoying this. You keep me on.
I want to ask you a favor. You've got about a year and a half to start calling some video and calling some stuff. But I'm currently 39. I'll be 40 in July. The following July, I'll be 41. I'd really love a Barry McCockner, he's 41 highlight video of myself. Look, I can't believe he's doing this. He's 41.
Well, you know who else is 41?
Who's that?
He plays quarterback for the Patriots.
Oh, Tom Brady can't. He's too good. He can't be 41. He's got to be in his late 20s.
He is 41 years old, and next year he'll be 42.
Wow,
that it makes sense. I've seen a dad bod going on there.
Yeah, I mean he's built like a fish, but you know.
Barry, it has been a pleasure. We're glad to have you.
I'm standing up to support Barry while we say goodbye.
Stand up, Barry. You're welcome back anytime. What's on the plate for Thanksgiving though? What kind of meals are you eating to show your support for the troops?
You know, I'll be honest here. I've always thought Thanksgiving was overrated. It's a hot take. Might not be.
It's a bad hot take, but that's all right.
I've always felt like Halloween. Well, I'll go on a little rant here. I've always felt like that Christmas as a kid is the best holiday because you get a lot of gifts. But Halloween is the best holiday overall because when you're a kid, it's about getting candy. And then as you get older, it's about getting laid. And Christmas, as you get older, goes from being about
I know. I by the way, that just gave me your age range because when you get even older, it's about fucking staying home and letting disaster drunken people be in costume.
Yeah. But Christmas, as you get older as an adult, is horrible because you're like, you don't get gifts anymore, you don't get as many gifts, and you're buying shit. So Thanksgiving to me, and I've said it before on my account, it's just like whenever I think of Thanksgiving, I just think of just getting fat and just having like political arguments with family. And it's like you have to like awkwardly just sit there for like 2 to 3 hours, just like, hey, meeting relatives you don't really know. But I guess I'll just have. In terms to finally answer your question, I guess I'll have, you know, the usual turkey, maybe a little stuffing. It's going to be, I'm going to donate the leftover food that I have to the armed forces. Just because that's the type of person I am.
You're a class act.
I don't know if it's classy to say that I'm a class act, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm a class act. You know, I'm just going to say that.
We'll say it for you.
Thank you.
Barry McCockner, you're on Twitter. Where else can people find you and listen? I know you have a podcast, right?
I do. I just started a podcast. It's called the Class Act Pod, and it's revolutionary in the fact that it's the first time that a middle-class white male has ever had a podcast in America. And
groundbreaking stuff.
I don't want to compare myself to Martin Luther King Jr., but – and Jackie Robinson, but I'm pretty much like the Jackie Robinson of podcasts. So if you want to support the movement, just go ahead and follow the Class Act Pod. I think if you enjoy my stuff, you'll really enjoy that.
Well, Barry, it's been a pleasure. We appreciate you doing the show, and we'll have to do this again sometime. Maybe get you live sometime if you're ever out in Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
All right, Barry, thanks, and enjoy your Thanksgiving, and we appreciate your service.
You too, guys. Stay classy, and remember to always support the troops.
Fantastic.
Barry McCockiner.
I love it. I love Barry.
Yeah.
Seems like a good guy, supports the troops. What else is there to say?
Bringing the truth.
Yeah. One of my theories came true. I thought he either just does not care for baseball at all, or he's a Yankee fan, because no one deserves the call out for the overrated on Twitter treatment like Derek Jeter. Turns out he's a Yankee fan. Yeah. It's okay. We all have our biases.
Well, Joe, we got a lot to cover still.
Yeah.
But you're talking about overrated. You know what is not overrated? SeatGeek.
I'll tell you what, Andy. Just bought SeatGeek tickets for Notre Dame SC at the Coliseum this Saturday.
Oh,
we were just there on Monday. Going back to the Coliseum on Saturday to see Notre Dame carve out their place, the overrated Fighting Irish, carve out their place in the national championship playoff. And SeatGeek, I got fantastic seats. When I went in, I set my price level. You know, that's my favorite. I've gone a lot of different ways on SeatGeek, but my favorite thing is go into the filters, set your max price. I set my max price. Boom. This thing came up. They rated it like 9.9, like, I think it said stupendous deal. It was glowing green. And yeah. I was like, look at this. Boom. I'm like 20 rows up.
Love it.
Can't wait.
Well, guys, you too can take advantage of the amazing tickets available on SeatGeek. And best of all, you get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code DIRTY today. That's promo code DIRTY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets.
Andy, before we move on from Barry, I want to talk about one thing, because I was, as I do, you know, Barry, it's a tough scene in his mentions,
yes,
just like it's a tough scene in my mentions whenever I talk, you know, LeBron and Jordan. But I've said time and time again that the reason that I think LeBron is better than Jordan is he's dominating the game at a similar, if not better, higher level than Jordan did against better competition. To which somebody replied to me, so if Giannis is the best player in basketball 5 years from now, then he's the best player ever? And I was like, no. That's not how it works. Not just the best player in the most modern era is the best. But I would like to say this, because it was such a dumb question that I didn't even know how to respond. If 15 years from now, Giannis has only 2 NBA titles, but he's taken 2 NBA championships to Milwaukee, and he's pacing as the greatest scorer of all time, and he's going to finish top 10 in assists, and he's going to finish top 15 in blocks, when the rest of the league is unicorns, Porzingis and Anthony Davis and Zion Williamson coming in and Durant. If 15 years from now, Giannis has 2 championships, multiple MVPs, 7 finals appearances, and he's doing it against all these unicorns that are coming, yes. Yes, he's the greatest basketball player of all time. Now, let's see if that happens. Let's see if he makes 6 NBA finals and wins 2 of them. But 15 years from now, if he's dominating on a LeBron-like level, when the game just goes to that much more athleticism and that much more freakish unicorns at every position, yeah, he's the guy. Just being the best player at any given moment in the future does not make you the best. But dominating on that level, yeah, then he would be.
Yeah. Well, again, people don't want to acknowledge that everything progresses. That's what I don't get. And again, it's always basketball. It's the weird. I don't know why. Because
the reason,
because we still have nostalgia with other sports.
Yeah,
we have our own personal nostalgia with baseball, with football. But for some reason,
I've said it time and time again. Marketing and capitalism is fascinating. McDonald's makes more money than any restaurant in America. How, Andy? How is that possible? How is it possible that McDonald's, of all the restaurants, makes the most money?
Well, they do have a brilliant marketing campaign.
They fucking go huge.
Yeah.
you know, the McDonald's, no one promotes, especially in the 80s and 90s when they were laying the groundwork, no one promoted more than McDonald's. They're getting the kids with the Happy Meals. They're introducing salads when people start calling them unhealthy. Breakfast all day when people start – like they – the McRib comes and goes as it pleases. Like McDonald's is brilliant, and they sell the most burgers. In the 1990s, Michael Jordan was endorsed by McDonald's, Gatorade, Nike,
Hanes,
Looney Tunes, fucking Warner Brothers. Like, the dude covered it all. Marketing is amazing. And if you think Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time, congratulations. You are a pawn to the marketing game.
Well, and not only that, I want to add one point to that. He wasn't just doing all those companies. He didn't have any competition. So if you look nowadays, sure, I see LeBron doing Sprite commercials. Or this is what's funny. After Sprite, I can't. What else is LeBron doing right now?
I have no idea.
But that's my point. You could. You just listed easily all those different brands that
the first shoe, the first player to have
but
a
right
shoe.
Now, I could
with
say
the-
you could say. My point is this: LeBron's doing Sprite. Chris Paul and James Harden are doing State Farm. My point is, it's spread out now.
Yeah.
They have multiple athletes.
Do you think people were murdered? Do you think there was hundreds of people being murdered in the 90s for their Jordans? Don't be stupid. Fucking marketing. Okay? People are getting murdered. It's like, I got to get these shoes. I got to get them. People are getting murdered over them. And every middle class to upper class white kid in America made their parents go out and buy them fucking Jordan. And it's happening today. Like, if you're the guy who's in his 30s and 40s that's going out and buying the – oh, they're bringing back the Jordan 9. You are a fucking – you've been duped by marketing into thinking that some guy – who's not as talented at basketball as LeBron James is the best ever.
It's funny you say that because I can vividly remember being in the second grade when one of our friends got new Jordans. And it was such a big deal.
Yeah.
I was 8 years old, 7 years old. It was such a big deal because he was the guy. And we all had it. We all had it. Now, you're a guy who grew up a Knicks fan in New York, but even me. I grew up in Cincinnati. This is what's so funny that you bring that up. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. No NBA teams. You know, Cleveland's 4.5 hours northeast, so it's really not that close. But what did I have as a kid who didn't have an NBA team? I had a Jordan poster on the wall.
Yeah.
It was a big deal when I got any Jordan gear.
Yeah. The NBA on NBC, McDonald's, Gatorade, Hanes.
Huge ordeal.
Look, marketing's amazing.
Do you know the only NBA hat I ever owned? Until basically I moved, was a Bulls hat.
Yeah.
You love the Bulls.
Yeah.
I mean, it was brilliant. It's a good point, man.
A lot of ad agencies in the 80s and 90s in Chicago.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Lots of them.
I never thought of that, though, until now, that Jordan was his own monopoly within the NBA. Of marketing.
And I got to shout out. This has to be mentioned. I have to shout out my co-host of the Dirty Slides podcast, Andy Lazarus. He has sent me this guy who's doing NBA videos. I forget if it's like the NBA storyteller or the NBA. I'll find it. But he has sent me a video that this guy is investigating. That the guy who got the last spot on Jordan's high school team, this legendary figure who was chosen to be on the team over Jordan, the last spot, does not exist and has never existed. And the guy was at his Hall of Fame speech, and they're like, "Who is this guy?" There's no historical proof that this person existed. The coach who had talked about it in "Come Fly with Me," the VHS tape about Jordan. Was not his high school basketball coach?
Wait. So this is...
It's one of the great conspiracy theories of all time.
This is a great conspiracy. So for people who don't know, because we have a lot of young listeners, the thing about Jordan was that he didn't make his high school team...
The NBA storyteller. Michael Jordan's Web of Lies, Part 1. The NBA storyteller investigation.
So, but let's just let everybody know.
Yeah.
the thing always was on Jordan, and I read all his biographies. Again,
yeah.
I was all about
Come
Jordan.
Fly With Me, yes. The movie.
All that stuff. Was that Jordan didn't make varsity
as a sophomore.
As a sophomore in North Carolina.
Right.
That he had to play for the JV team.
And that there was one guy that it came down to one decision. Jordan or this guy. And forever, Jordan has been fueled by this other player. That this guy is the ghost he has been chasing forever. And he was out to prove for his entire NBA career that that guy was not better than him. Meanwhile, there's no historical evidence that this player ever existed. And Jordan says, he was 6'7", and they took a guy who was 6'7", and I wasn't that tall yet. If you watch this, the next tallest basketball player on their roster is 6'4". So somehow the last guy to make the team is 3 inches taller than the tallest player on the team. That's the last guy that you – you don't have anybody on your team who's over 6'4", and you're like, should we take the 6'7" guy or not?
So wait a second. So I'm just –
It's a fictional character.
I'm thinking now
– but here's the best part. He was at the Hall of Fame induction.
Jordan now – so we have two major conspiracies. Obviously, there's the one, which again, why is no one talking about, that Jordan's dad was murdered.
Over his gambling debts.
Over his gambling debts.
Two, he was hung over for the flu game.
Okay. Another good Jordan conspiracy. And three, the NBA said, look, bro, your dad got whacked because you didn't pay some Italian mafia guy some gambling debts. You have a gambling problem. You need to leave the NBA for a year. Make up some bullshit reason. He comes up with baseball.
Comes back, loses to the Magic.
That's the third. And now number four?
You got to watch it. It's amazing.
It's mind-blowing.
It's like four parts.
It's like a web of lies.
It is. I believe I just said it's called Michael Jordan's Web of Lies. Yeah, it's called Web of Lies. Michael Jordan's Web of Lies, part one.
But does this include all these conspiracies?
No, this is just about – this is a four-part series on how this player is marketing legend.
Dude, how has no one
– in Come Fly With Me, they interview Michael Jordan's high school coach about this situation. It's not his coach. His coach refused to be in the interview. And a guy who was later hired by the team was not even there the year he made the cut is the guy interviewing.
How has no one done research on this before?
Because marketing's amazing and everybody wants it to be true.
Hey,
I know.
I'm speechless.
I know.
Has a reporter ever had the balls?
By the way, when I watched that the first time, I was like, is this Barry? Is Barry doing this work? Is McCockiner also the NBA storyteller?
And to me, it's not even that much balls. Has anyone sat Jordan down and just said to him this question? Have they just said to him, Michael, did you leave the NBA?
No, nor would they.
Why?
Because it's Michael Jordan.
So?
No one who's doing it. Ahmad Rashad? Ahmad Rashad is a hologram invented by Michael Jordan. I'm not even sure the real Ahmad Rashad died of CTE after playing in the NFL and was replaced by a fucking robot whose sole purpose it is to interview Michael Jordan whenever Michael Jordan is interviewed and only ask softball questions. Because if he asked hardball questions, Michael Jordan would swing and miss at them like he did 178 times in his minor league short season. If he throws him softball questions, he can knock him out of the park.
But my point is, Prano, how has no one asked Jordan?
Because Jordan refuses to do interviews with anybody but Ahmad Rashad. Robot Ahmad Rashad.
Like, dude.
That's the other Web of Lies conspiracy. Is Ahmad Rashad a real person, or did he die of CTE and created in a lab to only interview Michael Jordan? When's the last time you saw Ahmad Rashad? NBA Inside Stuff is basically the Illuminati's Saturday show to promote Michael Jordan. It was like a highlight show. It was like a Michael Jordan propaganda show masquerading as an NBA show. Hosted by Michael Jordan's robot.
I'm just mind blown that no one's been like, hey, bro, you left the NBA for a year. There's rumors that David Stern told you had to. No one's questioned.
People often ask me, Joe, a big thing about my career in comedy and in life and stuff is like you drink and you're always talking about drugs and what. when you live this truth, it's very hard to exist in the world. When you're the one I'm like the crazy person out on the street in conspiracy theory who's like yelling. I'm the lunatic. It's like, who's he talking to? I'm screaming the truth about Michael Jordan for going on 2 decades, and no one will listen to me. It will cause you to put whiskey in your coffee on a fucking Wednesday morning.
You got whiskey in there?
Yes. Because God damn it, Michael Jordan is a fucking marketing scam. Anyway, we can pick some football games?
Yeah. Well, before we do that, I want to say you're looking fresh in those Flag and Anthem gear.
Thank you. My Flag and Anthem pants. Actually, I thought, you know, my favorite holiday is tomorrow, Thanksgiving. I thought I'd come out with some floral duds with the bananas on it. This is not a Flag and Anthem shirt, but I said, what am I going to touch these up with? Like, something has to match the greatness of this shirt. And I was like, oh, my Flag and Anthem brick red jeans. And look at this. This might be my favorite outfit.
Yeah, it looks good. I got the ox blood. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, ox blood.
Love these. Dude, these are such soft, comfortable corduroys. Love them. Guys, the holiday season is here. Look fresh. Go to flagandanthem.com. And if you drop promo code DIRTY, you get 25% off your first order. If you love and support the troops, like Barry McCockiner,
yeah,
you'll go to Flag and Anthem.
Not 23% off like Jordan. Yeah. Not 24% off like Kobe post-rape. But 25% off.
Yes, 25% off. So go to flagandanthem.com. Drop that promo code DIRTY for that amazing 25% off deal. Before we get to games, are we going to talk about Monday Night Football's game?
I mean, I've never... You're like a five-year-old. You, like, even talking this morning, you're like, I'm still kind of hyped up. You're like, the Monday Night Football game for you was like Maddie Goldberg's breakup. You're like, I haven't been able to sleep since the Monday Night Football game. It's been 4 days. I'm standing not only to support the troops, but also because I can't sleep. You're like, I'm thinking about getting rid of my bed because of what Pat Mahomes and Jared Goff did on Monday Night Football. I'm like, what happened?
Because here's why I've been so excited in turn. We witnessed history live.
Yeah, it was great. I'm glad you pulled the trigger on tickets on SeatGeek. And it was awesome to watch. It was, I'll tell you what, I knew it going in. I didn't think it would be 105 points scored. But I knew it going in. Tug Coker, Tug was mentioned, brought some beers on the train. Brown bagged a couple of Coors Lights and Miller Lights. And we got to the game, and I ordered another Blue Moon, and I specifically, and don't, before you shit on me, they didn't have Miller Lite or any other good beer for that matter. I specifically was like, that's my last beer. I don't want to have 12 beers at this game because, like, this is going to be something I want to remember every second of, and I was 100% right. It was a fantastic game on so many levels. The offenses were great. The defenses were scoring. Like, we had three defensive touchdowns. Just watching a game, it was like, I can't imagine how many points one team would have had to be up for me to be like, well, this game's over.
But not only that, the atmosphere in there, and I've always said this, night, there's a completely different vibe in a night NFL game than a day game.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yeah, of course.
So it's just a different vibe in there. That was the loudest. Now, this is the third year the Rams have been here. That was my fourth Rams game. That was, without a doubt, the loudest I've seen the Coliseum.
Yeah, for sure.
The crowd was electric. The crowd was into it. I ended up looking. There was 77,000 people there, so about 10,000 more than the normal capacity that they set it at. It was nuts. I didn't leave my seat the minute we sat down 15 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah.
Not once. Prano goes to get a pretzel.
You were gone, on a piss.
You were gone literally. I mean, 10 minutes.
I James Bonded it, and it was like I snuck in through the back door of the bathroom. I went to the ATM so I could go to the cash only line of the pretzel. I was back in like 8 minutes. I missed.
You go, Ruther. What the fuck just happened? There's another touchdown.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like a touchdown by the team that had the ball when I left.
Yeah, it was one of the Rams' defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, it was the sack fumble. Recovery, you know, the 11-yard fumble recovery.
Number 50. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his name. It was amazing. This is why I'm so turned, because I know, dude, the odds of me ever witnessing a game like that, in my lifetime are very small.
It is, because for a number of reasons. One, I mean, first of all, no team has ever lost scoring 50 points. It's the first time a team has ever lost in NFL history scoring 50 points. The highest scoring Monday Night Football game in history. So even if you got a crazy game like that, it's not going to be like, it was also a national game. Everybody was watching that game. Everybody was there. The move from Mexico. So many things played into it that you'll never see something like that again. Also, is two teams that are doing, let's mention Tug again. Tug was mentioned a second time. At Tug was mentioned twice. With these stacked teams, with the quarterback on their rookie deals, with the crazy weapons. Like, the Rams and Chiefs are doing something sort of simultaneously. Obviously, the Rams have McVay. The Chiefs have Andy Reid doing Andy Reid things. But that are doing this simultaneously. Like, scheme heavy. Exciting young quarterbacks on rookie deals, which allows them to have tons of weapons around them. It's a perfect storm, and you have a perfect storm team from the AFC and a perfect storm team from the NFC. This was my Super Bowl prediction, by the way. Rams, Chiefs, and God, based on that alone, if the Giants don't run the table, I want the you got to just keep saying it to if you want it to be true. I actually would prefer that the Super Bowl game. Chiefs, Saints would be great too, but just the weapons. Like on that Rams team, it'd just be so fun to watch with the defensive players, with Donald, with you know.
Well, you said something during the game, and I think we should bring it up, guys. Everyone is on Khalil Mack, deservingly so.
Yeah,
Khalil Mack is a game changer. I would put them neck and neck right now. I'd put Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack, guys. Aaron Donald leads the league in sacks. I don't know what his stats are. I'm not going to pull him up on strip sacks and fumbles or forced fumbles. But like that game again.
I'll say this.
Donald is just as important to the Rams defense as Khalil Mack is to the Raiders.
I'm not sure I agree with you, but I did say, hey, defensive player of the year is going to be a tough choice. So here's the thing. First of all, the Bears defense is better than the Rams defense.
Without a doubt.
And so you have Khalil Mack leading a better defense. The Rams defensive line is their strong suit for sure and is stacked. So there's only so much double teaming and whatever that you can do without just, you know, unleashing somebody else. Aaron Donald is absolutely 1B to Khalil Mack's 1A. The only edge that I'm going to give to Khalil Mack is he went in there, he changed their entire defense, their defense. He took a team from being an also-ran to probably winning the division because of his addition to their defense. Now, sure, you take Aaron Donald away from the Rams, are they completely not there? But their defense isn't dominating. And the other thing is, like, Jacob deGrom won the Cy Young with all but one first-place vote. I think Aaron Donald will get first-place votes for defensive player of the year, and deservedly so. But I'll still give Mac just a slight edge.
Okay. Like, I wouldn't be mad at that, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you brought this up during the
game. Also, linebacker is going two-way. You know, he's dropping back into coverage. He's getting interceptions. He's blah, blah, blah. But still.
I also got to give some love to Jared Goff. I was saying it all game. He missed some throws. I've said it all year, watching the Rams, obviously, every week. But what did I say to you when we were at the game? I said, this is it, man. When it comes down to it, can Jared Goff drive them down? And I told you, remember when I go...
You said, I feel a Jared Goff pick coming.
I go, I feel a Jared Goff interception. And one play later, he throws a bad pass.
He throws an interception. And it was dropped.
Exactly.
Like, and that's, you know, and...
But he
recovers from that, drives him down, and gets the score.
That's what I want to say. But Goff recovered from
Mahomes
that.
Mahomes turned the ball over multiple times. But it's something that you have to... That's something when I look at quarterbacks that you have to remember when evaluating everybody. The eye test is super important because you go into the stat sheet, he threw a pick to lose that game. He straight up did. Now, it was dropped, you know, but Mahomes then threw, I mean, just at the end of the game alone, He threw a pick that would have iced it had, you know, McVay not for some reason thrown the ball when they got it back. I have no idea what that was about. And then threw another pick to end it.
Well, actually, Mahomes at the end, I think it showed his inexperience. Mahomes, amazing game.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to take anything away. But at the end of the game, I think the savvy veteran quarterbacks are making sure they're throwing the ball on the 15-yard out towards the sideline. You know what I'm saying? He threw multiple passes in the middle of the field, and I'm just thinking, like, you just cannot do that.
Yeah.
And he did it multiple times.
It was amazing. It was an amazing game to see in person. I'll tell you one thing that I'm sure there's been something written about, and if there are psycho Rams fans out there or psycho NFL fans out there, please share this article with me. If there is one that you've come across on the internet, DM me or tweet at me or whatever. But something that I saw the Rams do that I've never seen watching it on TV, and I didn't even notice it last year when we went to a Rams game, they come out of the huddle, they go to the line, and they immediately snap the ball.
Yeah,
I don't know what is the strategy behind this.
That's the thing.
And I have seen McVay do something else that I saw that game where he clearly called a timeout while they were on offense after showing the play. Like, he calls a timeout simultaneously with them snapping the ball so they can show one play and then run another.
He did it on defense.
He
too.
Calls it on defense. The Chiefs were going to run a crazy Tariq Hill motion into an option play. He calls a timeout. Then they probably should have run the play anyway. He scares off Andy Reid from calling that play. But this go to the line immediately, like, they barely get set and they snap the ball. I've never seen this version of, like, some sort of hurry up out of the huddle offense. Very strange, but, like,
works.
I'm sure there's something to it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but there's probably something to it.
I trust McVay. Dude's a genius.
I don't know what he was doing with his timeouts.
His timeouts were questionable.
And I don't know what he was doing down the stretch. He threw the ball twice.
Yeah.
When they had the game, it's like, they didn't run Gurley enough in the game, in my opinion, for starters.
Well, that's what I was bitching all game
about. But then to not run him in the end, they threw two passes.
Yeah.
Now, the first one was completed, but then he almost
threw a pick.
Threw it right at a guy.
Yeah.
And they fucking wasted. They gave the ball back, and they had timeouts. Andy Reid somehow had all his timeouts left, or like two of his timeouts left, or something.
Opposite
like
day.
Yeah, it was crazy, but it was just an amazing game.
Amazing game.
As a fan of neither team, it was awesome to be there. I was like, this is just like, some girl comes running up the thing trying to high five everybody at a Rams touchdown. I was like, I don't. And she's like, what? I'm like, I don't care about either of these teams. I was like, I'm here for the touchdowns. I'm like, I'm just here for the 54-51.
My only complaint about the game is the Cheddar Dicks who were going up and down
Rams
the aisle.
Rams fans. It's still L.A.,
oh,
dude.
Oh, God.
It's still L.A.
L.A. God. That's my knock. That's my only one knock. The amount of Rams fans repeatedly leaving their seats. You're witnessing history. There was one chick I pointed out. I'm not lying. She walked up and down the aisle 20 times.
Yeah, absolutely. Blue hair. Fucking.
Classic yeah. L.A., like, Silver Lake hipster. Watch the damn game.
Yeah. Great game, though.
And
awesome.
And also, much love to everybody on social media who has appreciated the cut cam.
Yeah.
If you go on Facebook, there's like debates happening.
Yeah.
That's a whole other world of people trying to defend this.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
So if you're at a game at all this Thanksgiving weekend, please tweet, Instagram, whatever it is. Send us pictures of people wearing jerseys of teams or players not playing. And we will put that on our official cut cam.
Yeah, I can't wait to see who I see at Notre Dame SC. There's some Baker Mayfield jerseys in the crowd.
You were pretty good. Prano, you were like a
savant when it comes to just noticing out-of-place colors.
You'd be like, Ruther, Baker Mayfield jersey down there. Get a picture.
Yeah. I mean, there was a Namdi Asamoah ladies jersey on the way out. That was just like mind-blowing to me. I'm like, what? I was like, is she related to Namdi Asamoah? Like, how does she have a Namdi Asamoah Raiders ladies cut? And why is she wearing it to this?
Even though the guy next...
I was like, is she homeless and that's just her only shirt? Like,
even though the guy next to us was so annoying that Prano had to switch seats with me because he was so out of control and the Rams would do well, he was heckling people with me that weren't wearing Rams or Chiefs gear.
Yeah.
He'd be like, yo, man!
The Packers playing?
The Packers aren't playing, bro.
Even, and we're doing Mexican. I'm pretty sure he was like fucking
Armenian.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if he was Armenian or Mexican. Anyway, great fucking game.
Fantastic.
I mean, at this point, though, I'm like, I was going to go to the Eagles game, too.
But you're a Rams fan, dude. Go to as many games as you can. This could be their year.
I am going to go to the Eagles
game. Could be their year. Probably isn't their year, but could be their year.
I am going to go to the Eagles game, but it's just, dude, you can't top that.
Yeah, you can't. But, you know, if I were you, I would definitely go. You're a Rams fan. This is like 2015 Mets season. After the pitch, you know, I think I went to opening day that year. Pretty sure I went to opening day that year. Then we did the pitch. And then I was just like chasing him around the country because I was like, this could be it. This could be our year. I put the magic Prano touch on this season. This could be our year. And then when they get to the World Series, I was like, if they win this World Series, I'm writing a book about this season.
Yeah.
Then they lost. And I, you know, wrote a angry diary entry about contemplating suicide. But, you know, it is what it is.
Well, let's get to this week's game. We start tomorrow.
Now, Andy, I just want to ask you one quick question because I am going to the Coliseum for Notre Dame SC this weekend. Preseason 12th ranked Notre Dame. Underrated. Yeah?
I don't think I had a big opinion on them this year. Right? I don't think I had a big opinion on it.
No, just you just say universally overrated.
Well, I'll say this much, and that's not just Notre Dame. No team is touching Bama. I mean, I know it's not a big hot take, but I'm talking like within two scores. I don't see any team coming, even Georgia. Everybody's talking about Georgia. I don't see any team coming within two touchdowns of Alabama.
Which team, if it finishes the way it is, which team do you think gives Alabama the best game of that four?
I think Georgia. But obviously that won't happen because they're going to play in the SEC.
Right, and they'll have another loss.
Title game.
You think Georgia would give them a better game than Clemson or Notre Dame?
Yes.
Or?
Dude, Clemson, I know he's having a great year. You got a freshman quarterback against Nick Saban. You got to remember, when Clemson beat Bama, they had a savvy vet of Deshaun Watson.
I would love it if somehow we could get a rematch of that Notre Dame-Alabama game. Just because Ian Book, to me, is like a Jason Schwartzman movie character. I see the guy on the sideline. I'm like, is this a Wes Anderson film? How is this guy the quarterback at Notre Dame?
I think that if Notre Dame played Bama, they lose by 3 touchdowns. I think if Michigan plays Bama, which is scheduled, the same if not more. I think Bama's that good. Who I want to see in that playoff is UCF, and they won't. They won't make it.
Well, UCF should absolutely be in the playoff.
They jumped.
It should just be an 8 or 16 team playoff. They shouldn't be in the 4-team playoff.
Yeah.
But I want to say this without anybody missing. The University of Central Florida absolutely should be playing in a national collegiate athletic association football playoff for the championship. It just should be an 8 or 16 team playoff.
Yeah. It's going to be 8 sooner or later.
It has to be. But why are we doing it again? This is like the replay where we go to the call on the field. Why? Because you guys fucked up and made it 4. Do we have to like slowly unravel? Like maybe let's make it 6 and Bama gets a bye every year and then we'll make it 8. And can we just go to 16? Everybody does 16. Let's just go to 16. But what? Then they don't have a month off between games? Yes, that's the point. No month off of football. I'll watch college football if they go to 16.
Especially this year. This should be very interesting. Because, you know, right now you have a lot of good one-loss teams. Washington State, Oklahoma.
It's just so much better. It's just so much better.
Yeah. All right, so Thanksgiving games. We'll start off with Bears at Lions.
Chase Daniel playing.
Who?
Chase Daniel is the...
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just... For effect.
He's the backup quarterback of the Bears. He's playing for Mitchell Trubisky, who got hurt.
That's official.
How did he get hurt, Andy?
Running the ball?
Oh, yeah. Running the ball. Who saw that coming? Only me, because I have a crystal ball.
The Bears are still favorites.
All over myself.
What do you think about that? The Bears are still 3-point favorites.
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
I did not know the update on Trubisky's injury.
Spit on myself. I don't know how that happened.
By the way, we did see a Mitchell Trubisky. I never got that one out there. We also saw a Mitchell Trubisky.
We also saw Robbie Gould. Who owns a kicker jersey?
Can you imagine?
When you have a kicker's jersey, I assume you're related to that guy.
Can you imagine you're going to the Rams, Chiefs, 2-9-1 teams on Monday Night Football in Los Angeles, and you decide to put on a Robbie Gould jersey?
Let's take it one step further. Forget that. Forget he already owns the jersey. He's going to wear it everywhere he can fucking possibly wear it. He probably wears it to Thanksgiving dinner. How about the guy who goes, NFL.com, return, Robbie Gould, click. Oh, they don't have it? All right. Custom, 9, gold. Like, who's ordering a Robbie Gould jersey? This guy, does he own a sporting goods store? Did he press that number on himself? Did he take a McMahon jersey and just change the name? How are there number 9? Is this a Shane Matthews throwback jersey that he's just put a different nameplate on? Where do you get a number 9 Robbie Gould Bears jersey?
Those are questions that need to be answered.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to my Shane Matthews reference.
It's a good reference. So Bears are 3-point favorites, heading to Detroit. Oh, Chase Daniels is interesting. I'm going to go to Detroit.
Me too. I think the reason I'm going to go to Detroit is because I still feel like there's something that's going to keep this division close down the stretch. I still think the Bears probably win it, but I feel like it's going to be interesting. And with the Packers loss and the Bears beating the Vikings, it was getting late early for those teams. But now Trubisky out?
I think it's a good game.
Yeah.
The Redskins with Colt McCoy and Mark Sanchez head to Dallas, which I love.
I'm taking the Redskins. Let me say that right up out of the gate
too.
Before I even go. You're all in on the Cowboys.
No, hold on. Hold on a second.
You said it multiple times on the way to the Coliseum.
I did. I'm all in on the Cowboys winning the division.
Yeah. I don't know where you would come up with that.
I'm all in. I to start the year, I said the Cowboys would be awful. They might win 3 or 4 games. I was way off. I think they win the division. However, 7 points is a lot for a division game. And I know it's Colt McCoy, but
as far as backups go,
I think he's a quality backup.
He's fine.
That's why I'm going to go Redskins.
I will have 0% shock if Colt McCoy goes into Dallas on Thanksgiving Day, wins the game. Zero. Of negative shock. I'm going with the Redskins. Am I picking them to win the game? No. Will I have 0% shock? Absolutely.
You know, tomorrow is the official 7-year anniversary of the Buff fumble.
Oh, wow. So Sanchez get in the game?
That's what I'm saying.
That was a Thanksgiving game?
It was a Thanksgiving game against the Patriots.
Wow.
7 years ago tomorrow. It's kind of wild how that works.
Yeah.
Kind of like how the injury was 33 years to the day from Alex Smith and Joe Theismann.
Yeah. That wasn't as weird, though. It was clearly the Native Americans doing a broken leg dance outside the stadium. They're like, every 4,900 moons, we will break our legs. Hiya, 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 snap!
Actually, this is a conspiracy I like.
Yeah.
A Native American dance.
Yeah.
To break legs.
Yep.
Why is no one talking about this?
Look, a lot of people aren't talking about my theories. Eventually, you know, they all come out. It's why I'm pre-Nostradamus. 5 years from now, when Chief, you know, Broken Leg tells his tales.
Chief Broken Leg.
Yeah. They'll be pretty called this.
And your night game, Atlanta travels to New Orleans, where the Saints are 13-point favorites. I'm actually going to take Atlanta.
It's a lot of points.
It's just too many points for me.
Yeah, I'm going with Atlanta, too. This is killing me already.
Okay, Prano, we got to talk about that. You're 11. You lost the game last week somehow. I thought you were going to kill me because I did awful. You did awful. 5-4. We both did bad. You're 11 games back with 6 weeks left.
What are you going to do, man? He's gonna keep pressing on. Yeah, hope. What
you're
am
not
I gonna
just start picking different?
Yeah, I am. If it's suitable.
You're 11 games now with 6 weeks left.
Yeah, I know. That was your. It was terrible because I've just had an awful week. Like I'm usually good for a 1-5.
That was my
a
worst
year.
Week.
Yeah, of course it was.
You needed like 3 or 4 game pickup.
Yeah. And I picked all different teams. I picked multiple different games and then fucking ended up worse anyway. So you got to pick your spots. But this one thing that I'm terrible at is determining which terrible team is more terrible. There's like 6 good teams in the NFL. And then after that, I'm fucking completely lost.
Well, here's another terrible game. San Francisco at Tampa Bay. The Bucs are 3.5-point favorite. Who's starting? Jameis?
Yeah, I think so.
And Nick Mullins? Is Nick Mullins still starting?
Yeah.
I'm going to take San Francisco.
Great. I'll take the Bucs. See, this is where it's like, I don't give a fucking single fuck. I have no strong feelings about this game. Who did I just take? The Bucs?
Yes.
Great. Now I got to root for Jameis. Kill me.
Love it. Pats at Jets. Pats are 9.5-point favorites coming off the bye.
Ooh, the Jets though. The Jets, like,
Jets play them tough.
Yeah, Jets play them tough.
Especially in New York.
I'm going to take the Pats. Please take the Jets.
I'll take the Jets.
Yeah.
I'm basically throwing you a bone.
Oh, come on.
I am.
Get the fuck out of here. Take the Pats then.
Because I want to take the Pats.
You want to take the Pats? Take the fucking Pats.
No, I'll take the Jets. I got to make this shit interesting.
Oh, man. You're going to give me that. Then I'm going to come back and win. You're going to be like, remember week fucking 11 when I took the Pats and I didn't want to?
Prano, if you come back and beat me after that.
Don't say you'll suck my dick because then you're going to start throwing games. Next thing you know, you're going to be trying to blow me on air.
I never said I was going to suck your dick. Come on, man.
I'll eat your ass.
No, I'm not too worried. 11 game lead with 6 weeks. If I falter in this, it would be the biggest epic choke job of our show's history.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Agreed.
You know what I am going to do, though, this holiday season and Thanksgiving, is see what's going on with my Robinhood app.
I'll tell you what. I'm not supposed to talk about my personal finances, but I'm way better at Robinhooding than I am at picking football games this year.
Yeah.
Love it.
How about that Bitcoin?
I mean, again, I'm not going to be too specific, but I do love the, what are they called? The fake money.
It's called a cryptocurrency.
Yeah, do love the cryptocurrencies. I'm invested in numerous cryptocurrencies.
All those great things, guys, are available on the Robinhood app. We love using this. There is no commission fees, right? Other brokerages are going to charge you $10 for every trade. Not the Robinhood app.
Yeah. I love it. I like going in, watching my stuff go up and down. I can look at how I've done this today, my live money, my monthly, my weekly, my all time. It's so great. You can get deep. I got to say, my other favorite thing about Robinhood, I didn't even know this was a thing that happened. Robinhood's like a social media. I go in there under a stock or currency that I want to buy, and people are talking about it.
Yeah.
And like, I love it.
It's great, guys. And best of all, Robinhood is giving a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. That's big capital letters, F-R-E-E, guys. So sign up now at dirtysports.robinhood.com. Once again, that's dirtysports.robinhood.com. And those links, or that link, I should say, will be in our description of this podcast. So if you want to get that free stock, sign up today. Okay, let's get through these games. Your Giants travel to Philly, where the Eagles are 6-point favorites. I'm taking your Giants.
I'm going to take my Giants as well.
6 points is too big. I'm out on the Eagles. I'm in on the Cowboys. I'm out on the Eagles. All right, Oakland travels to Baltimore, where the Raiders are a 10.5-point underdog. Do we know who's starting this week? Because that is very important to me.
No, but, I mean, first of all, we could look it up, and we should.
Yes.
But also, is it possible for the Ravens to be 10-point favorites in a game where...
10.5.
Yeah, where Flacco is not starting? Come on, let's do latest.
What's the deal here? Who's starting for the Ravens this week?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. 5 minutes ago, Ravens QB Joe Flacco still not practicing due to hip injury.
Well, it is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Can we do what we did last week? You got to check your phone, though. Can we wait on this?
I checked my phone last week. It was just...
Look, let me put it this way. If it's 10.5 with Lamar Jackson, I'm taking the Raiders.
I'm taking the Raiders no
matter
what.
Fuck it. I was just going to say, I'm taking him regardless.
Yeah, 10.5 points.
Flacco's not that good of a quarterback.
I mean, neither here nor there. 10.5 points.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I'm taking the Raiders.
All right. Jags at Bills. Jags are 3-point road favorites. What is the quarterback situation currently in Buffalo?
They don't. I guess it's Matt Barkley.
Is Josh Allen still out?
Yeah, I think so. Road, I'm taking the Bills.
I feel like the Jags are just a fucking disaster right now.
Yeah.
You know, there's,
you
there's,
feel like that?
There's murmurs.
They were in the AFC Championship game last year. They were like a quarter away from beating the Patriots and going to the Super Bowl. I can't believe it that they suck again.
Rumors that, you know, Ramsey's going to be traded, all this stuff. But for the show's sake, I'm going to take the Jags. All right, Seattle at Carolina. Ooh, my boy Russell Wilson.
What's the spread on this one?
3.5. I'm taking Seattle.
Great. Can't wait to take Carolina. Thanks.
All right, Cleveland at Cincinnati. The Battle of Ohio, the two shitty Ohio teams. The Bengals are a 3-point favorite.
I'm taking the Bengals. The Browns are not very good.
I am also going to take... Bengals have lost, what, 2 in a row? 3 of their last 4?
They're reeling. There's a battle. Who's going to get to hire Condoleezza Rice as their next coach? The Hugh Jackson factor? Which one is it going to help more? The Bengals having him? The Browns not having him? The Browns won last week, right?
Yeah.
Were they off last week?
No, they were off.
Yeah.
They beat Atlanta the week before.
Yeah. Coming off a bye week. It's back. We're doing it.
I'm taking the Browns.
Yeah.
All right. Arizona at the Chargers. Chargers are playing out here, and they are 12.5-point favorites.
12.5 is too big. I'm going to take Arizona.
I was just going to say, it's a big spread.
Bounce back week for the Chargers?
I'm going to take Zona. It's too big of a spread. All right, Miami at Indy.
I'm switching that. I'm going with the Chargers.
Okay.
No, I can't. 12.5 is too big.
Massive.
I'm taking Arizona. Sorry. I wanted to pull the trigger on a...
Miami at Indy. What's his name is back. Ryan Tannehill is back for the Dolphins. Indy is a 7.5-point favorite at home. Now,
7.5?
I'm taking Miami, man.
Wow.
Now Indy is putting up points like no other.
Yeah.
Frank Reich's been great.
Yeah.
It's 7.5, man.
I'm going to take Miami as well. That spread's jumped like crazy, right? I'm going to take Miami. But I got to say, I've been meaning to mention this. I've been very open about how fucking stupid and how, you know, everybody that has ever tweeted – are the Giants regretting not taking fucking Darnold over Barkley?
You still talking about this?
Yeah. Should fucking eat cyanide. The only question that should ever be brought up about the New York Giants draft is, should they have taken Nelson? Barkley, Allen, Rosen, go fuck yourself. Look at what Quentin Nelson has done. They haven't given up a sack in 5 games. The dude single-handedly, now they have rebuilt their offensive line entirely, but they got a fucking once-in-a-generation blue-chip offensive lineman, added it to a rebuilt offensive line. They haven't given up a sack in 5 games. They used to have one of the worst offensive lines in football. And, remarkably, Andrew Luck's good again.
Yeah. With that being said, you're taking Miami?
Yeah, because it's just too big a spread.
Okay. Pittsburgh at Denver. Pittsburgh's a 3-point favorite. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I know Denver won last week out here, but no.
Yeah, I'm taking Pittsburgh as well.
All right, your Sunday night game, the Packers at the Vikings. The Vikings are a 3.5-point favorite. Packers are coming off a 10-day layoff after.
I'm an idiot, and Mike McCarthy's the new Tevez for me. He'll continue to ruin my life because he's a goddamn fucking boob, but I believe in Aaron Rodgers. I'll always believe in Aaron Rodgers. I feel like no matter what, and this is this sort of the Packers' MO the last couple of years is like, we're going to hang around till the end because we have Aaron Rodgers, but we're not going to make the playoffs because of fucking Mike McCarthy. I'm taking the Packers.
Yeah, I want to take the Packers too. I think it's a 3-point game. That half point's huge. In your Monday night game, there is no line currently at all.
What's
Tennessee
game is that?
At Houston?
Because no Mariota?
I think they're waiting on Mariota status.
Well, we're probably going to be recording Sunday night, so we could repick that one.
Oh, yeah, good point. All right.
We'll just need a reminder to do that.
That's right. That's it, buddy.
Let's go to some comments. Every time I look over there, there's been some hot fires.
Comments were on
fire. This is what we really need an intern for. Just like be like, at the end of the show, here's five things that were said in there.
The comments were on fire. A lot of troll-on-troll fighting, which I thought was funny.
Great.
When Barry was on the show.
A lot of Jordan slurpers in there?
No, but it was a lot of just faceless troll on faceless troll arguing about Brady for and against him. And I just thought it was so funny. You know, it's social media. But you're right. Guys, I want an intern in 2019. A capable intern. I'm not fucking around anymore. I'm not. Basically, I need an intern who can do shit and is capable. Plain and simple. None of
this
shit.
Is it a paid position?
Maybe. But Joe's right. It'd be really nice to have somebody in here to.
We should have an IQ test. But like a Mensa-style IQ test.
I was going
to
say, common sense.
Yeah.
Because we got stuff going on now.
Like give the intern a Rubik's Cube. And like if they start trying to solve it, they can't have the job. If they throw it back to us and like, fuck you, what does this have to do with interning? We're like, oh, you get it? You have a brain?
Yeah.
Shabelli would have been in like the corner Googling how to do a fucking Rubik's Cube. Trevor would have been like, he's like, let me smoke a bong hit, and then this Rubik's Cube will definitely make sense. EJ would have, like, tweeted it. He'd be like, other weird Twitter followers, how do you solve a Rubik's Cube?
But my thing is this. I just, for an intern, we need somebody who's going to work hard, be reliable.
I just want somebody who can think for themselves. Think outside the box.
Yes.
Guys, you know what you should do? You should do this and be like, terrible idea, but at least you suggested something.
Or be one step ahead, right? If we're having a discussion about a certain player or team, have three different windows open on your computer. Hey, he had this stat, or he did this, or blah, blah, blah. But 2019, I would love an intern in here. So we'll put that back out to everybody listening. I know there were people interested before, and I have DMs, so.
Yeah, they have to fucking live here or be prepared to move here. Or, like, you gotta
not move. You gotta live here.
Oh, I mean, look, if somebody moves here, great, but, like, you better have a fucking job lined up.
Yeah.
This is a low paid position.
And by that, I mean, like, I might get you drunk occasionally.
Yeah.
Might buy you some fucking pizza. That's basically what we're gonna do. Brent, it was fun. Barry was great.
Barry was fantastic.
And if you are new, you guys can subscribe to us on all things available, right? iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, all that shit.
If you're a fan of Barry's, stick around. Check out a couple more episodes of us. If you're a fan of us, go check out Barry's podcast.
Yes.
Follow all of us on Twitter.
Your Twitter?
At Fix Your Life on Twitter. Joe Prano on Instagram. JoePrano.com for shows. We've got, again, Tahoe coming up early December. We're going to have an 11-11 show at the Laz Lair in late December. It might be that Christmas to New Year's week.
Nice.
It's gonna be a fun. It's always the best week to party because no one's doing anything. What else? Yeah, JoePrano.com.
Yeah.
Fix Your Life. That stuff.
And you can follow me at Andy Ruther on all things social media. And you can follow our show on Instagram and Twitter at The Dirty Sports. And yeah, guys, Joe's right. If you enjoy us, you enjoy Barry, give each other a listen. We're just spitting some hot facts out here.
Yep.
That's all we're doing. because it needs to be known. These things need to be known. The truth.
Yeah, the truth is Michael Jordan's basketball teammate did not exist.
All right, guys, enjoy your Thanksgiving. Get drunk. Listen to our pod. Spread the word. And most importantly, don't forget, condoms are for pussies.